to animals. Dogs from hell are barking outside. I'm in a Balinese village. It's the middle of the night. There's nothing to do about them. They bark curses into the black sky. I roll over and concentrate on my breathing. That doesn't work. I'm wide awake with anger, resisting these demon gods, the protectors of wakefulness. Eyes protruding, they javelin barbed thoughts directly into my brain. Gradually, this idea of an active demon force becomes interesting. Why clench up on reality? So I decide to change my tactics and actually listen. There are three dogs roaming in the near distance. Waves of them are banked back in terraced collections. As I enter the canine world, I begin to hear its plain nature. The animals are at the same time frightened and protective. The near three are a clique, conversing amongst themselves, and also as a unit to other cliques. It is entirely a population of concerned citizens. I become aware of their reactions and of what they are reacting to. I remember my watchdog at home. Over the years, I've learned to read his barks. One combination is for cars in the driveway, one for intruding animals, another for hunger, another for cold. I can sometimes identify the person arriving or the kind of animal by the quality of the bark. Tonight, I am far from home. In strange fields, but in these new voices I can read unseen nocturnal messages, odors on the wind, human and otherwise, disturbances in the insect pattern, the single footfall that doesn't fit the expectation, the need for reassurance. Turf is taken through a puff of the lungs and a scrape of the larynx. Short barks are words clustered in staccato sentences. Howls are poems careening off the airwaves. Absorbed and hypnotized, I eventually fall asleep listening to late-night dog radio. Once I was feeling sorry for a lion at the zoo. I was also getting a big charge from examining him up close. As he paced 10 feet away, I sketched the outline of his terrifying shape intimately in my eye, storing up his ferocity for later. The lion stopped and stared me down. I gazed bravely in return. He growled suddenly, not stupefyingly, just mezzo forte. "This is who I am," growl. Because I was already entranced, my ears were open, and I heard the sound as if he had drawn in splendid detail the dimensions of his insides. I saw the rib cage and the hollow volumes of all the cavities, the lungs and the guts, in the bowels, red in the dark, all posed for the portrait. "This is a sound picture of my body," says the lion, "a transmission of my being into yours. Believe it." He was turned inside out like a pair of trousers. I have a cat who talks. She is 21 years old, arthritic and half-blind, but her large vocabulary of pleas and purrs come in rapid cadence, especially when you alternate yours with hers. In my pre-lion days, I would think up amusing English analogs for her words. Now I hear her body turned inside out. No need for English. The communication is direct and complete. You can become your cat when you listen deeply to her voice. With a little courage, you can be the lion. You can even be the dogs from hell, busy delineating the boundary between their collective insides and the reality of midnight. When you understand the language, you are rooster, pig, and goat. Part of you leaps to life for a moment's appreciation of purr, crow, squeal, or bleat. That sound is the bridge that leads you out of your skin and out of your cage.